Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from one of the 11 Democratic U.S. Senate candidates looking to unseat Republican Ron Johnson in the November general election. Also, we'll hear from all six of the Eau Claire School Board candidates, the winners and losers from Tuesday's spring election. And finally, we'll hear from a Fall Creek grandma who's the founder of Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley, which is located at Banbury Place. It's all ahead on Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for joining us. We begin with Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Tom Nelson. Nelson's a former assemblyman who currently serves as the executive director of Outagamie County on the other side of the state. He made a stop in Eau Claire in the rain on Wednesday, the day after the spring election, touting an economic plan, he says, that would invest in Wisconsin jobs. He says his first full Nelson plan hits at the supply chain and inflation crises.
We are here today outside the old Uniroyal facility, and a big part of my campaign has been manufacturing. And this is important because Wisconsin's one of the top manufacturing states in the country. Manufacturing means good paying union jobs. Manufacturing means a multiplier effect of 3-to-1, 4-to-1. So when Uniroyal closed down back in 1992, that didn't just mean 1,300 jobs. That meant 1,300 times 4. So you're talking 6 or 7,000 jobs. And not only is this important, not only is manufacturing important for Eau Claire, or from my neck of the woods in the Fox Valley, otherwise known as the Paper Valley, where when I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood, and all the dads worked at paper mills, and, you know, it's a way of life. And I think not only is manufacturing good for areas like Eau Claire and the Paper Valley and states like Wisconsin, but it's good everywhere. And one of the terrible lessons, one of the most devastating lessons we learned during the COVID, is how our supply chain here in this country has been completely decimated. We just don't make stuff anymore. And so if you went to the toilet paper, you know, paper aisle in grocery stores during the pandemic, it was kind of hit like with Soviet Russia in like 1981 or 1982. And so we have to do a top priority for whoever goes to Washington, we're doing everything we can, that we're the candidate to go there, is to make sure that we have a strong economy, to make sure we invest in manufacturing. We are one of the only countries, we're the only country in the developing world, in the developed world, that has that does not have a national industrial strategy. We've got bad trade deals, we've got tax policies that reward companies that ship jobs overseas. We do not make the kind of investments we need to in the public or private sector into basic goods, whether it's rubber or whether it's paper, whether it's electronics, you name it.
Nelson was asked if his plan is primarily calling for a change in tax policy.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think a lot of people, when they look at these questions, it's kind of a one-off. They talk about raising minimum wage. They talk about bad trade deals. They talk about taxing the rich. But really, it's an entire package. It's looking at these economic challenges holistically. So it's not just tax policy. That is a big problem. I mean, we've got companies like Amazon that don't pay any taxes. That's a problem. You ask anybody in the street, that's a problem, right? It's a problem. Amazon doesn't pay any taxes. But it's not just that. It's questions like, how did we get to a point where you only have a couple of companies that make tractors? You know, why is it that you only have a couple of companies that make these different products? And the reason why is we have a government that has not enforced antitrust laws, and we've allowed monopolies, we've allowed a consolidation that has raised consumer prices, that has eliminated jobs, and in many cases they have shed key components in the supply chain. Semiconductors. This country invented the semiconductor. We don't make semiconductors anymore. We don't make the microchip anymore. It's built in one region in China. And so when COVID hits, which hit like probably 10 miles away from those cluster of factories, semiconductor production in the world ground to a halt. And so we saw high prices for new cars. We saw high prices for microwaves, for refrigerators. So now is the time that we acknowledge the problems we made. We don't have good trade policy. We don't enforce antitrust. We've got taxes for which the rich don't pay their fair share, and some big corporations that don't pay it at all. So you need to have a U.S. senator that understands that and will go to Washington, and someone who comes from a blue-collar neighborhood, someone who understands what these jobs mean.
Great content out here in the rain. Good message, relevant. But what about the horse race? 4 months and 3 days from today, the primary, Barnes and Lazary pull on top. Such a crowded field. I mean, what about those who don't even know you?
Well, I think, that's the reason why we're getting around the states. Also the reason why we got in the race first. Got in October of 2020, 18 months ago. We were the first challenger race campaign in the country getting. Look, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a billionaire. Don't have a lot of name recognition, but I come from a community that a lot of people share those kind of values. A small town, Little Chute, Wisconsin. You know, I've got family up the road in Polk County. I got family down in Pierce County, Pepin County. Spent the first 4 years of my life at a church outside of Stockholm, Wisconsin. So I have the values. And the big thing now, though, is half of the voters are undecided. So you think about this. You've got Mandela Barnes. He's got an 80% name recognition, and yet half of the people are undecided. So that's a problem. If I'm Mandela Barnes, and I've got 80% name recognition, and yet of the people who know me, right, 40% will not vote for me, half of the people surveyed, this is the Marquette poll, half the people surveyed still don't know, despite the fact that they've got 11 choices. What this campaign is all about right now is building a strong grassroots organization. We've got supporters like Rob all over this state. We have the highest engagement on social media, in Facebook. We are building this organization, and then when the voters are looking and engaged in making their decision, we're going to be on TV, we're going to be on WEIU, we're going to be on 103.1 FM all over the place. We're going to help pay your salary, maybe get you a bonus at the end of the year. There's
so,
a lot of campaign spending.
While people are feeling like Barnes and Lazary, in terms of, again, the horse race, I mean, you feel like, do you feel comfortable or confident kind of where your position and what you're planning?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you run, it's just like if you're Aaron Rodgers, you always play, well, hope he plays this way, you always play like you're three touchdowns down. You always play like you're 20 points down. Look, I've won election, re-election six times. I won election, re-election six times in a red part of the state. Three as a county executive, three as a legislator. If you can, just like New York City, if you can win in a red part of the state, you can win anywhere. We can win statewide. So we have a solid organization. Yes, there are some disadvantages, okay? My dad is not a billion-dollar hedge fund owner, okay, in New York City, okay? I didn't marry someone worth $50 million or $60 million. I'm just the son of a little old Lutheran pastor from western Wisconsin. So just doing the best we can here.
But Wisconsin's history shows somebody, Bill Proxmire, got elected and reelected back in the day with very little money spent, right?
That's right. You know, I think when people meet me, so the campaign's going for 18 years, been elective office for 17 years, and, you know, people say, okay, what do you want the takeaway to be? And the takeaway is simply this, which is, yeah, you know, that Tom Nelson, we think he's got some good ideas, a lot of common sense, reminds me of Russ Feingold or Bill Proxmire. Those were two underdogs. Those were two people that did not have a lot of money, but they had good ideas. They relate well with a state like Wisconsin. And above all, what I think is one of the most important values, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, is you work hard and you're committed to your job and you put the people first.
And lastly, I mean, to the Democratic voter who's mulling so many candidates, can you make the case why you'd be the candidate Ron Johnson would least want to see?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he's basically said this much. I mean, look, I'm from Ron Johnson's backyard, 23 minutes away from his lakefront home. His voters are my voters, and they're not going to do that same thing again. I've won six times in a red part of the state, three as a county executive, three as a legislator. If you're the Republican Party and you're looking at the field, the last person you want to run against is Tom Nelson. And we're going to win the nomination, and we're going to beat Ron Johnson.
Some economic policy and politics talk there in the rain this past Wednesday outside Banbury Place in Eau Claire with one of the 11 Democratic U.S. Senate candidates, Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County Executive. You can learn more about Nelson's campaign at nelson4wi.com. That's nelson4wi.com. Of course, Nelson and the other 10 Democrats squaring off in that Tuesday, August 9th primary to see who moves on to the November 8th general election against Ron Johnson. Johnson, of course, has not once but twice defeated Russ Feingold, both when Feingold was the incumbent in 2010, Johnson scoring the win in that Tea Party year, and then in 2016, a presidential election year where Johnson, as the incumbent, staved off the challenge from Feingold. So we'll see who will his opponent be this November. Meanwhile, there was an election this past Tuesday, and many things voted upon, including a very controversial Eau Claire school board race. WQOW TV 18 did a great job of talking to those who won and getting statements from those who didn't in that school board contest. There were three seats up for grabs, and the two incumbents do return and stay on the board, including the school board president, Tim Nordine, who, yes, there was a death threat made on him and his family after the election. He told WQOW-TV.
It's really an amazing win, I think, for the city of Eau Claire, really for the students of Eau Claire, for sending a message that our schools are for every single student, our LGBTQ students, our students of color. Every student is welcome, and our community has said that.
The other incumbent returning to the board, Markel Johnson, telling WQOW.
You know, I think there's a lot of change that still has to happen, but there's a lot of momentum moving towards greater acceptance of differences, greater appreciation of the wide variety of opportunities that we can provide.
Stephanie Ferrara is a newcomer to the Eau Claire School Board, finishing third in Tuesday's polling. She tells WQOW.
I'm looking forward to getting to work on our equity goals in our district especially, but I'm also looking forward to working with every single family and making sure every student's needs are met.
Going above and beyond the call of duty, WQOW-TV also shared with their viewers at least part of statements that the candidates who were unsuccessful for the Eau Claire School Board offered. This is Shannon Hoyt reading what Corey Cronrath had to say.
This election has been a really good experience for me. I want to thank you for welcoming me into your community. Many of you supported me. Most of you asked good, hard questions. And three of you need to work on your emotional intelligence.
Meanwhile, WQOW-TV anchor Keith Edwards reading what Melissa Winters had to say following her defeat.
Despite the outcome, I still feel as though we won. Together, we exposed the agenda being pushed within our Eau Claire public schools. We must continue to advocate for open, honest communication and transparency.
And finally, Edwards also sharing part of what candidate Nicole Everson had to say in defeat.
Our school district faces a lot of challenges going forward. I will continue to do what I can as a constituent of Eau Claire and continue to participate. I encourage those who won to really try to unite this community and allow all of us a place at the table.
And finally, in my stop at Banbury Place this past Wednesday, covering Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Tom Nelson, I also met Shauna Hansen, and I'd like you to meet her tonight as well. Hansen describes herself as just a Fall Creek grandma, but she's also the founder of Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley, located at Banbury Place. I asked Hansen to tell us more about it.
So what we do here is we take things people don't want or need, and we give it to families who do for free. We are open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 1. We accept donations during hours of operation. Anyone is welcome to come. First come, first serve. We ask that you show ID one time per year, but otherwise everything is free. We just try to give back to the children in our community so that everyone is thriving the way they need to be as best as they possibly can.
And what kind of need do you find that's out there?
We help with basic needs, so clothing, bedding, food, formula, diapers, baby equipment, toys, books, puzzles, you name it, we take it. Mm-hmm.
And what about if people want to support you, how do they do that?
We have PayPal, we have Venmo, they can come, bring us cash or check, it doesn't matter either one. Our email address is helpinghandsforourchildren@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to tell people?
We really look forward to seeing you and your families. Whether you're giving or receiving, it's a wonderful place to be. You can find our group on Facebook. Again, it's called Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley. We go by HHFOC. We are located at Banbury 13. Address is 930 Galloway, number 25. Our group on Facebook, there's about 7,000 people in there. Everyone is working diligently to meet the needs of children in our community right here in Eau Claire.
7,000 people in the Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley Facebook group?
Correct.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about 8.5 years. We have only been nonprofit for just about 2.5. But we have been taking things people don't want or need and giving it to families who do for 8.5.
I imagine it's very fulfilling. I mean, being able to
help people out, I imagine they're quite grateful to you.
Yes, they are. And we are very grateful for them. It's a wonderful feeling in your own personal being to be able to give back to your community. The best part is seeing the smiles on the children's faces. Most of what we do is giving back, you know, donated items. But during the year, we also have big events where we accept brand new items.
Shannon Hansen, founder of Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley, wrapping up tonight's Chippewa Valley This Week here on WWIB and WOGO. Recapping from the outset, we spent a good amount of time with one of the 11 Democratic U.S. Senate candidates who, I think wisely, the very day after, the morning after the spring election, was not letting any time pass here in the Chippewa Valley. But Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive, former Democratic Assembly member, was here making his pitch, later stopping in Wausau. Plus, we also heard from the six candidates for the Eau Claire School Board race: Tim Nordine, Markel Johnson, Stephanie Farrar making it onto the board, Corey Cronrath, Melissa Winters, and Nicole Everson coming up short, but at least you hear some of what their statements were in defeat. And finally, Shauna Hansen, the founder and director of Helping Hands for Our Children in the Chippewa Valley. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.